Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. So quick introduction before we get into this week's episode. I'm so excited. I am like bursting at the seams to tell you about this week's episode, as it's a little bit different. So this is going to be a podcast takeover. If you love mental health content or follow this amazing woman on Instagram or TikTok, you are going to be in for a treat. If you've never heard of her, girl, I can't wait for you to listen to this week's episode. So this week's episode is actually going to be a podcast takeover by the amazing Kobe Campbell. If you are aware of her content and know anything about Kobe, she is an award-winning licensed trauma therapist, author, media expert, and speaker. So Kobe is coming out with a new book. It's called Why Am I Like This? How to Break Cycles, Heal from Trauma, and Restore Your Faith. Kobe helps readers understand why it's so hard to break patterns, as she offers them a deep understanding of how their past shapes their present. With tender wisdom, rare vulnerability, and profound honesty, Kobe reminds each reader that you are not alone, as she empowers them to step into healing with evidence-based, faith-filled coping skills and resources. If you are anything like me, love this podcast, you are going to by far love this book. So if you're interested in purchasing Kobe's book, go to the link in the show notes. You can get it right now, and you will be able to take part in really being able to heal, understand trauma, and understand it from a faith perspective. Again, if you are interested in the book, Why Am I Like This? How to Break Cycles, Heal from Trauma, and Restore Your Faith, check out the link in the show notes. So now let's get into the episode with Miss Kobe Campbell. The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Roz and Renee, and welcome to the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Healing Circle podcast. I am Kobe.
Ring, 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 ring. Sorry, babe. What's up, Brock? No, it comes out April 2023. Hey, man, you got to stop calling me. I mean, it's coming out April 4th of 2023. All right. Hey, give Michelle my love, bro. Later. Sorry, it's just talking about why am I like this. It comes out April 4th, 2023. With a personal friend. We don't have to get into who it was.
Oh my god.
Please continue, babe.
I'm Kobe.
I'm Kyle.
And we are so excited to be back with another episode of the Healing Circle podcast. Yay. We're going to jump right into it. So today we're going to talk about the different types of trauma. So we've talked a lot about trauma in the last couple episodes. In the last couple seasons, we've gone a lot into like what trauma is, the different ways it can show up. But I think that it would be really helpful for you guys to understand that there are like different categories of trauma, because I think it'd help you understand which one kind of fits your experience. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how trauma affects us. Yeah.
Bet.
All right, let's jump into it. So first I want to give you, and this is like a good time for you to pull out a notebook, a pen, paper, your notes on your phone, because you're going to want to refer back to these as you process by yourself, with your friends, in your small group, with your therapist, whoever.
Okay. You could also pre-order Why Am I Like This? And when you get the book, it'll have this in there. So if you don't want to write it down, just pre-order the book.
What he said. So let's talk about acute trauma. Acute trauma. Acute trauma refers to a single traumatic incident that happens in your life. So one incident. And acute trauma is often the trauma that people think of when they hear the word trauma. It is like getting hit by a car. It is being sexually assaulted. It is your house catching on fire. It is like the seemingly societally big trauma, big incident that most people think, like, this is what trauma is. But there's a name for it, which is called acute trauma, which refers to a single incident. In the year of our Lord 2022, year of our Lord 2023, we should know that very few people only have acute trauma, but some people do. For some people, they have just lives that are pretty normative, and then they have like one big moment. I venture to say that no one has one big moment now, because we've all been through a panoramic together. And because really? We've been through it, we all had that one big moment. And I'm sure, you know, if you've had another big moment in any other time in your life, I feel like we're about to go into a recession. That's going to be another acute trauma. And we're going to talk about what it means to have several types of acute trauma. When you think of acute trauma, what like comes to your mind? Or did you even know what that meant before I brought this up?
So before I read the book, Why Am I Like This? That comes out April 4th, 2023. I did a lot of editing for that book.
He did.
Really, Barack Obama, a few others, we've been contributing. And so when I read about it, it was actually one of the moments, like, I was trying to be a good husband, right? So I'm just reading and trying to help. Yeah. And then this was one of the things that, like, kind of pulled me out of spell checking into, like, oh, shoot. Because you started describing this, and you were describing it as like thinking about pebbles and boulders.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know if you were going to get there, so I don't want to ruin your thunder, but like.
No, go ahead.
I don't want to say, because I'm not going to say it right.
Okay, I'll say it.
But trauma's like pebbles and boulders and whatnot. Hit them with it, babe.
Okay, so people often think about trauma like there's big T and little T, right? Which is like a big trauma, like the tornado. And then the little T is like someone hurt your feelings. And really, when they categorize it that way, they're really trying to say one moment is more impactful, more worthy of time, more worthy of attention than another. But when I talk to my clients, I talk to them about pebbles and boulders, right? You can have a boulder, and the boulder would be acute trauma, the big, undeniable, clear, mass of a moment that like stands before you, yeah. Right?
I got in a car accident and changed my whole life.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah. Or like it's literally changed my life because I can't walk, or because yeah. I was injured, or I have a chronic back pain, something like that, right? And then there's chronic trauma, which I'll define, and then I'll talk about how it's pebbles. So chronic trauma is from prolonged and ongoing abuse, prolonged and ongoing pain, right? So chronic trauma might be the fact that growing up, you never felt safe going to your parents and simply sharing how you felt because they always dismissed it, right? Now, when you look at a car accident, based on society standards, when you look at a car accident and you look at my mom dismissed how I felt growing up, it's really easy to be like, oh, clearly the car accident is like way worse, deserves more attention, all the things. But I tell my clients, like, whether you have a big boulder car accident or you have all these small moments, which are like pebbles, either way, you have the boulder or you have all these pebbles that gather into a mass of a boulder anyway, right? It's like one rock or a bunch of little rocks that together weigh the same as a big rock, right? There is no big T and little T. There's just T. There's no big trauma and little trauma. There's just trauma, right? I talk in the book about how no one wins in the pain Olympics because
no pain, gold medals in the pain Olympics, y'all.
There is none. There really isn't. And the truth is our body processes, I've said this before, emotional pain almost identically to the way it processes physical pain. And just because someone has been, you know, experienced pain bit by bit by bit over years doesn't mean that their pain is any less significant than a car crash that is like injured someone physically, because the person who's had that emotional dismissal, that emotional abandonment, they also have injuries. What's hard about it is those injuries are harder to detect because there's not a specific moment they can trace it back to. And that's why, even though we dismiss chronic trauma oftentimes, it can be worse. Like, when I say worse, it can be harder to detect. That's a better way for me to say it. Because there's no big T, no little T, just T. It can be harder to detect, but especially because oftentimes that abuse is normalized to us. It's normative. For something to be normative, for us to understand that it's not normal, we have to have exposure to something else. I don't know what's, you know, painful or what's not helpful unless I'm exposed to what's freeing and what is helpful. You know, until I get, and for a lot of us, when we went to college, when we got our own money, when we got out the house, we started to realize just how painful some of our childhoods were, because we had reference to, like, oh, there are people who have parents that, like, say, I love you every day. There are people who have parents that, like, help them out financially and don't guilt them. There are people who have, you know, like, yeah. A lot of us don't realize until we're exposed, which is, like, I'll get into that later. But part of healing also is exposure to something beyond what you know. But there's something that includes both acute and chronic trauma sometimes, which is complex trauma, which is what I would argue a lot of us have. Complex trauma is a combination of both acute trauma and chronic trauma, and or several chronic traumas or several acute traumas. It's like any combination of the two traumas, whether it's two types of ongoing concurrent chronic traumas, or whether it's two types of ongoing concurrent or two different types of acute incidences, complex trauma. And that's what makes it complex. It's because you may be dealing with the trauma that is like a single clear moment, like a sexual abuse. And you may also be dealing with the lack of safety you had at home that kept you from being able to share it with anybody. Right. And all of that trauma affects us. Like, that's the point of us kind of breaking down acute, chronic, complex, yeah. Is that it all affects us. It can affect us all differently because we're all different people with specific contexts. But I want to reiterate, feeling unsafe, feeling dismissed, feeling abandoned emotionally for long periods of times is chronic trauma. Like, it's trauma. If your internal voice is mimicking the external invalidation you've heard your entire life, you've experienced chronic emotional trauma, right? And I think that that's hard for a lot of people to hold on to, because a lot of people think that it's cultural, especially for us. I don't want to go there. Do I want to go there? We treat children, we treat literally anyone who's not an adult, a full-grown adult, like, they don't matter. Like, their feelings are less real. Like, their pain is less visceral.
Yeah.
And
we adultify children. So we do that. We give, especially in our community, and in a lot of minority communities. Well, sometimes it's got to be said. We treat our children with the worst of both hands. We adultify them. So we make a 5-year-old. We hold them to the standards of maturity that a 10-year-old should have. We shame them for not having them. Of having that maturity. We beat them for not having that maturity. We do all of those things. So we adultify the kids. And then at the same time, we take away all of the autonomy that a more mature individual is supposed to get in exchange for their maturity.
What do you mean?
A 10-year-old has more access to own their own world than a 5-year-old does. Because they've gotten the autonomy of, like, okay, well, no, you can dress yourself. You can make decisions. You can say, I don't want this, but I do want that. Those are the sort of things we let 10-year-olds do.
Yeah.
So, like, a 10-year-old has earned that by virtue of the maturity. They've gotten to a place where it's like, okay, they can handle more responsibility and be trusted to own their own world more and more and more.
Yeah.
But, like, what we do very often in our community is, on the one hand, we say, well, listen, You just gotta deal with this as if you're 14. Like, you've just gotta be more mature. You gotta stop crying so much.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta stop being like, hey, I just need you to do whatever I told you to do and shut up.
Yeah.
Right? We do that. And then we never think about, like, even offering the benefits of what a 12-year-old is supposed to get. So 5, 6, 7-year-old minority kids often in low-income communities and all this stuff culturally, they get the worst of both worlds. They're stuck. They never know when they're allowed to be a kid and when they have to be an adult.
Yeah.
They're constantly stuck in this middle place where they can't win.
And I wanna clarify that we, like, all of this ties back to, like, societal oppression, slavery, all the things.
Mm-hmm. It's chronic trauma. It's a, right, it's a maladaptive trait from chronic trauma.
For sure. And a lot of it is we historically, not even that we haven't known better, we haven't had the opportunity to do better. And when I say we haven't had the opportunity to do better, what it means to allow a child to be a child means that a child gets to make mistakes. But if a little black boy makes a mistake in front of the wrong person, that's his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I say, like, we haven't had the opportunity because systems of oppression have made it so costly to allow black children to be black children.
Allowing, right, children to be children is a form of privilege.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Like,
you have
for to sure
have it. If you don't think about it, you won't know that. But if you actually consider what it takes to just let a kid be a kid, there's got to be other stuff in place to allow you to do that. So not everyone who treats their kid a certain way is a bad person. Yeah. They're living within a framework where they may genuinely feel like, I don't have another option.
Yeah.
I can't afford to let my kid do something that might hurt them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, this speaks specifically back to acute and chronic trauma, right? Because a chronic trauma might be not letting a child be a child, which can lead to the acute trauma of being sexually abused. Because the truth is, children who blindly obey are more likely to be preyed upon. You want your kid to listen, not ask questions. So what happens when an adult comes into their life and says, do this and don't tell nobody? You've trained the child to not discern. You've trained the child not to contextualize. You've trained the child to just obey, right? And this is important because we don't magically grow out of this when we turn 18.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of people who are working at jobs that are exploiting them who are afraid to speak up to their boss because they were told not to speak back to authority. There are a lot of adults experiencing abuse in churches, in relationships, in work environments who still, because what trauma does is trauma freezes you emotionally. I don't know if I've said that before. Trauma, like, the ages at which you've experienced trauma, just because your body is growing does not mean that your soul and your psyche are. Just because your body is developing does not mean that your soul and your psyche are growing. There are a lot of 9-year-olds trapped in 50-year-old bodies. And a lot of us know that because we see how our parents act. We see how our elders act when they don't get what they want. And they eerily resemble children, right? That's for a reason. That's because
I feel like the Black Illuminati is going to swoop through the ceiling. Oh, my God. Edit that out, bro. Not the 50-year-olds look like 9-year-olds.
But it's okay. True. Like, it's true. There are a lot of adults who want all the benefits of being adults because they're physically older, but they don't want to actually grow into the emotional and spiritual maturity of being adults. And then they get frustrated when people like us in our 30s come in and start pointing out, like, hey, there's unhealth. Hey, that's not good. And they use their physical stature to imply that they have a level of wisdom that they have not yet earned. Right? And I think that we have to remember, like, how we treat people as children. We are either setting them on a path of health or we're setting them on a path of chronic trauma, right? And for many of us, we have the chronic trauma of not even having the capacity to express desire without being shamed, right? Like, I want a bike. Well, people in hell want ice water.
Yo.
I didn't even ask you to buy me the bike. I just expressed that I want the bike.
Man,
right?
I want McDonald's, but you don't got no McDonald's money.
Right. And so what we do is we stop sharing what our actual desires are unless there's a certain likelihood that our desires can be met. And it matters that we are acquainted with our desires before our desires are met. That's literally what it means to have faith, right?
Oh, yeah.
You need to be able to identify what you want and hope for it to be able to activate faith. But a lot of us don't have the capacity to activate faith in a large and consistent way, because to have faith for something, you have to know what you're believing for.
Bro.
And a lot of us are not even acquainted with what our desires are. Part of our chronic trauma is that we have been taught to shut down our ability to desire anything, to want anything. Right. And that it creates a sense of internal confusion when you become the adult in your life. When I'm supposed to choose the direction of my life, and I'm supposed to contribute to my spouse's life, and I'm supposed to raise children with direction, I was taught my entire life not to have any dreams. I was taught my entire life to be quiet and follow. And now I'm thrown into a position of leadership. That is terrifying, yeah. Right? For a lot of us.
And that can manifest in like big and small ways, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
If you're listening right now and you have your phone nearby or something, like, and you can check the time, if you look at it right now, you'll see that it says hang time, right? And it says hang time because I have long hair now. This is really important. I'm coming back to you, babe. I have wanted to have long hair since I was 10 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I graduated at 17, not even 18. I've been an adult on my own for over a decade. I just started growing out my hair last year.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to do it my whole life.
Yeah.
And why haven't I been able to? There's an internal voice just telling me that I couldn't want something like that, that it wasn't important enough. Like it wasn't a big enough deal to actually desire. And I remember even earlier in our relationship, early Cobain Kyle's, it's like a bad reality TV show, mainly the Kyle part. Kobe would want me to like lead in our relationship, right? And we can have the whole conversation about what it means to be a man and a husband and a father and lead, right? And, you know, the cliff notes of that are like, you don't only get to lead in making decisions. You have to lead in saying sorry. You have to lead in humility. You have to lead in all the other things too. So you can't just lead on one end of the spectrum. So, hey, that's my TED talk for what it means to be a man. But she wanted me to operate in these roles of leadership. And she would be like, well, babe, like, what do you want our world to look like in 5 years? I'm like, I don't know.
And I
was
like,
what do you mean you don't know? What do you dream about? I don't really have dreams. I guess I work really hard and I make some money, you know? And she's like, okay, but then what? I'm like, yeah, well, if I'm a CFO by the time I'm 35, and then I make this much money by the time I'm 40, And I just kind of did this. And she was like, and I was like, well, you know, and she's like, no, tell me what happens after you're 40. And it was this really sad, but incredible moment where my wife helped me see I had no vision for my life past 40 years old. It was all blank.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, well, I just know that I'm supposed to do certain things. And everything was about obedience. So even when it came to having faith, I would have to pray, God, like, don't give me vision. Just tell me what to do. If you tell me what to do, I can do it.
Yeah.
And Kobe would, like, tell me what to do to love her. Yeah. And I would do it. But I couldn't, like, intuit what she needed next.
Yeah.
I couldn't get there. I could only be like, well, you didn't tell me to do that, so I didn't do it. And she's like, why should I have to? I told you these 10 things.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick up from there.
And let me jump in really quick. This speaks back to our first episode of this season that, like, God does not give Adam the names of the animals. He says, you name them. I want to see what you come up with. Spontaneity and creativity are a product of freedom. When you struggle to be spontaneous, when you struggle to be creative, there's something holding you hostage, right? And like for you, it was the limiting beliefs. It was the chronic trauma you experienced growing up. It was some of the cultural trappings of just what it means to grow up in America as a little black boy. Mm. Like those things held you hostage from being creative, from being able to dream, right? To be able to dream, you have to be able to suspend reality at least for a little bit, right? You have to be able to see something in here that doesn't exist out here. And like for you, your life became so concrete. Everything was about following the lead of someone else in a way that didn't allow you to lead, forget our marriage, you, like, lead yourself. Like, what do you want your life to look like? Your life was, it was like a mosaic of all the things, all the voices, all the desires of all the people you admired.
Yeah. If my dad's idea for my life had changed when I was 23, my idea for my life would have changed.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and that's not like to shade him. Hopefully my son really values my voice and wants to be just like me and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that in itself. But the reality of my world, of my acute, my chronic, my complex trauma made me feel like the only way I'm going to be safe is if I'm incredibly obedient.
Yeah.
Right. The only way the gangs would leave me alone was when I did what they told me to do.
Yeah.
And there were always people in my world who were scary, who were trying to hurt me in some way, shape, or form. And the way that as a undersized, really nerdy, you know, 6-year-old who's 2 grades ahead, like you can't do anything but just get good at anticipating what other people want you to do.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to be safe. And so, but then you know, one day the little boy grows up, or rather he doesn't, but he's living in a grown up's body.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't know if you've seen Talladega Nights, right?
Not enough to remember any Ricky Bobby quotes, babe.
Talladega Nights is one of the greatest movies of all time. So it's just, why am I like this as a book and then Talladega Nights, right? So fine. There's a point where he's doing an interview and his hands keep rising up because he doesn't know what to do. And he keeps saying, I don't know what to do with my hands. And it's hilarious and you should watch it. But that's what I woke up at like 21, 22, got a job, was like set for the future and was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Yeah. No one's telling me what to do next.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And, you know, I think about chronic trauma, and you were a good kid growing up, weren't you?
I was the best of kids.
Trust me, the good had all the emotional air.
I wanted to invite my girlfriend over when my parents were out of town and called my dad and asked if I could, because I was so like, well, I can't not, you know, I can't just be disobedient. Like, maybe he'll say yes. And of course, he laughed at me and said, Are you crazy? No. And then I actually listened to him, right? Like, I was that type of weird, obedient kid. It was good, I'm sure, for my parents in some ways, but it was not good for me in a lot of different ways.
I was the very opposite. Meek Mill's House Party music video was shot at my house. Okay, guys, at my house. Okay. I was a very wild, belligerent child. As if my parents went to Costco for too long, it was a party.
I'm stressed out just hearing this. Like, my heart is fluttering. Oh, my God.
The Christian in me is not supposed to say it was a good time, but that version of me knew it was a good time, okay? I think that one of the, like, weird paradigms that I'm realizing is, like, obedient children only stand in the favor of the world for so long, right? It only lasts for so long. And, like, I work with so many people, and, like, my twin sister is this person. I work with so many people who did exactly what they were told. And there are promises that the people who told them and directed them could not cash out on.
Come on.
You told me to go to college. You told me to be obedient. You told me to do this. You told me to do that. And, like, at the end of the day, guess what? I now don't have a job.
Yep.
I
don't have the job I want. I don't have the relationship you said I'd have. Yeah. I don't have any of the things that you guys said being the right person would always give me.
And if we really want to go there, this is something that it's universal for sure, but it's especially true of the church. And you know that like when we got married, I wasn't a virgin. And the way that people felt about the idea that I got to marry the pastor's son and they didn't because they were virgin, like, it was very
wild.
Like,
just watch Greenleaf and be like, some of that, just copy and paste. It was wild, ridiculous stuff.
It became this world where people felt entitled because they were promised by people who couldn't cash out that if you do what I say, you'll get the good thing. Guess right, doing the right thing doesn't always get you the good thing. And then the bad kids are out here, you know, not all of them. We got our emotional issues for sure. But at the end of the day, we're taking risks. You know, like, I was telling you this the other day. I actually think it was God's grace that sometimes when adults said things to me, I'd be like, you're a liar. I don't believe you. Because it was almost like the Holy Spirit giving me the courage to reject the lies that people wanted to sow into my life. Right? Because, like, at the end of the day, the very characteristics that made me a difficult child to deal with are the very characteristics that make me a fantastic therapist right now. I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I'm okay with paying the price of the truth. I'm okay with you not liking me. I'm okay with you being upset with me. Will I cry? Absolutely. But I'm still going to do what I know is right.
No, I'm going to cry.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to cry.
But I'm going to do what I need to do.
That's correct. Absolutely. And, you know, I think back to the people whose lives, like, were spent in service to this idol that can't move, this idol of societal goodness, this idol to societal ease, like, be quiet, shut up, do what we say, and you will get married, you will get a house, you will get a job. But, like, the truth is, you being the obedient and easy to manage kid was chronic trauma that actually just made you an easier target for other adults to manipulate you, right? And so, like, there's so many people who are angry because we've been taught that this societal, first of all, we've conflated goodness with ease. If you're easy to deal with, it's because you're good. That's not true.
Right? We all went to high school with the person who, like, looked like they was, like, the perfect kid, and you knew they were doing everything, but they looked good.
And it's not even about, like, what you're doing. I think that a lot of us have, like, been taught that, like, the more convenient you are to other people, the more your worth increases. But in adulthood, like, a lot of the people, and this is just my opinion, I don't know anyone who enjoys their life, who genuinely enjoys their life as an adult, who has not been accustomed to not being liked and who has not been accustomed to not taking risks. Every single one.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of self you have to take risks. But when you have given your sense of self on the altar of acceptance, on the altar of safety, the perception of safety, who's going to give you the strength to take risks? Hopefully the Lord and community and therapy. But, like, that's also what chronic trauma looks like. Chronic trauma looks like waking up at 30 one day and realizing you have no clue who you are, because your life is just a fruit medley of other people's thoughts, feelings, and opinions.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. I think one of the things that, like, we talk about acute, chronic, complex trauma, and it's, we're really talking about, the reason why it's important is because the things that you can't speak about, it's very difficult to address.
Yeah.
Right? Just like, sure. You know, if your spouse, those of you who are married, if your spouse asks you, babe, why do you love me? And you can't answer it, you need 30 minutes to come back. I don't know. It's going to be a problem, right?
Sure.
Because in some sense, like, the things that you know and you feel, you should be able to just put words to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's nuance
not
there,
always,
but, like,
but yeah.
You know, but, like, there, we know when you know something, when you can tell somebody about it.
Yeah.
And so I know for me, like, I found out, I became awakened to the idea of, like, oh, maybe I didn't grow up as normal as I thought. Maybe, you know, like, oh, like,
yeah.
I read my whole elementary school library by myself, and I used to think that that was just kind of cool. But then, like, you start to think about, what does it take for a 7 or 8 year old to have enough time to do that?
Kyle,
it's like,
oh,
I was just hiding
pride.
From bullies, and the
yeah.
You know, the librarians would let me hide in the library, and because I was smart enough, my teachers didn't make me go to class because they knew I knew the stuff. I spent half my childhood hiding in books.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you become awakened to that.
Yeah.
And part of it is, like, it's so overwhelming. Like, okay, what's wrong with me? What's right about me? What are the bad things that God has, like, redeemed and made good things? Like, what's worth keeping about me? What's worth throwing away? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And being able to say, okay, this was acute. So this was, like, a moment. This was actually chronic. Like, this happened a lot.
Several
and then
moments.
Here, this is complex. For instance, I may cry. I try to be intentional about actually crying, because not enough cool black men with long hair do enough crying in public, okay? So if it comes, I'm just going to let it flow. But I can remember being, like, 7 or 8 years old. This is a moment I've talked about with my brother. I, like, cried and apologized to him about it. And he's like, bro, I don't even really remember that, which is its own podcast, how two people can experience the same thing and, like, not even see it the same way.
Yeah.
I was being beat up. There was a lot of like gang activity, and my twin brother, who's younger than me, has always been my little brother. And in many different ways, I would do what I thought would get me the most attention from the bullies because I wanted to protect my little brother. And there was a moment I just kept getting angrier and angrier and angrier, though I wouldn't have called it that at the time. But now I can see it as just deep rage at the world, yeah, and also at my little brother, that he existed and that I needed to bear more pain,
yeah,
because he existed. And that I had to, yeah, because he existed. And so there are acute moments of being bullied, like of, or not bullied, being beaten, yeah, being like
assaulted. Yeah.
There's the chronic moments of an overarching just fear and concern and lack of safety. And then there's like this one moment when me and my brother were arguing. We weren't even arguing. I was just angry. And I held him down. And I took a flashlight and I sat on his shoulders, held his eyelids open and shined the flashlight in his eyes until he could not see for no reason. He's just crying and I'm holding him down. And I carried that moment of like shame of like, how could I do that? What am I? Oh, I'm a monster. I'm the thing. I'm not protecting my brother. I'm the thing that he needs to be protected of, like all this different stuff. But it was a moment of complex trauma because I did something to someone else because of what was being done to me. And I had feelings about my brother that weren't fair because of what I felt like I had to do for him. And then I go throughout the rest of my life with this latent fear of like, I'm not safe. I can't be trusted. The people who rely on me will find out one day that I'm actually the dude that will hold you down and shine a light into your eyes until you're blinded.
Yeah.
And so then it trickled into my relationships where I would get close to people and find reasons to make them not trust me because I wanted to protect them from trusting me too much.
Yeah.
That's a really warped story, but that's a real life example of how acute trauma, chronic trauma can turn into something so complex. When you hear it all, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But like, you got to understand the pieces. You can't just wake up at 9 years old. Like, why did Kyle do that to his little brother who he loves?
Yeah.
Who, not even little, but my twin brother, anyone who knows us, we're the same person basically.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, but we used to be the same person basically. That's my best friend. And how could I get just randomly, seriously hurt him? He couldn't see for like 20 minutes. I thought it actually blinded him. Thank God he can see now, kind of. But he's weird, so sometimes he don't be seeing stuff. But like, just to put like flesh on some of the examples, like it can be that nuanced and also stick with you in your marriage. And now you're trying to get close to your wife, but you feel like every time she begins to trust you, you find a reason to make her not trust you and you can't explain it to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be that too.
Yeah. And you know, as you're talking, one, thank you for sharing that. As you're talking, what I'm thinking about is the last episode we had where you said like start a step before, like, right. If we started a step before, like, this is not just about a 6-year-old, 9-year-old kid who got so angry he stuck a flashlight in someone's eye. This is a story about a 6-9-year-old kid who was placed the responsibility of protector in a way that he could not psychologically handle. Right. Like, that it was never your job to be your own protector, and it was never your job to be your brother's protector. And so, like, if we start a step earlier when telling the story, this is not a story about what a 6-year-old did. This is a story about the pressure a 6-year-old had to carry that led him to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that takes a lot of empathy. It takes a lot of insight. And, like, you're right. That's complex trauma. It's trauma related to, like, why weren't you protected, right? Yeah. Trauma related to like the product of not being protected, which is like the acute trauma of being beat up. Trauma related to like even the trauma of being the exact same age as someone, but somehow one's parentified in a way the other one isn't, right? Like all of that mashed together, like that is complex trauma, right? And what you touched on that I think I kind of want us to like reflect on as we end this episode is how your trauma changes your perception of yourself and others.
Yeah.
your experience of having to carry the weight of being protector as a 6-year-old, one, made you see yourself as more responsible for things you weren't responsible for and things you had no control over and no autonomy. If you wanted to protect your brother, what are you going to do? You're the same size. You know what I mean? Like, and then it also changed your perception of your brother. It changed your perception of someone else. No longer is he someone to connect to, kind of like the Adam Eve situation, not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now it's the person you place here with me. Yeah. Not my brother, who's my friend, not the person I get to do life with. Now the person who burdens me, the person who stresses me out, the person who makes my life harder to exist, right? And then it changed our perception of God, right? Because our idea of what good is becomes seen through the lens of the trauma that we have. Because now, if you grew up as a 6-year-old who had to constantly protect other people, you might grow up into an adult who thinks that someone loving you means that they have to constantly protect you, even at the expense of their own safety. Right?
Yeah.
And then you start to get angry at God when people don't sacrifice their lives for you, but not everyone's called to do that. But you were taught as a kid that that's what it means to be a good protector. A good protector, a good friend is willing to destroy their entire lives for me, is willing to bear under so much pain on my behalf. God will call certain people to do that for us, but not everybody, right? And then we look at God like, dang, God, well, how come I don't have good friends? Like, no, you have good friends. Your caliber, the way that you measure goodness and friendship is just off.
Yeah.
You need to recalibrate, right? And so I would love for us to like just take time to think through like what kind of trauma do I think I have? I would say complex, but like it's up to you. You decide. Autonomy. Like, right? Do I see the acute trauma? Do I see the chronic trauma? Do I see the complex trauma? And if I do see all of these or any of these, how did it affect the way I saw myself, others, and God? Yeah. I think it's a good place for us to land the plane. You guys, you can order my brand new book, pre-order my brand new book, Why Am I Like This? How to Break Cycles, Heal from Trauma, and Restore Your Faith. It comes out April 4th, 2023. If you did not already hear it five times in this episode.
Yep. It comes with free Chipotle. Just buy it.
It does not. It does not come with free Chipotle.
The Chipotle will come your way. God will send it.
We pray it does. With chips and guac. And if you want to join an amazing community of people who are ready to laugh, grow, heal together, join my inner circle. You get 3 months completely for free. I have devotionals in there, courses in there. We're talking every single day, daily check-ins, meetups, events, all the things. If you want to get deeply connected, then join us. Again, it's free for 3 months. And then if you're looking for a therapist, I have expanded my practice. I have Maria. She is amazing. She is just an awesome person. She provides therapy in both English and in Spanish. So if you're bilingual or if you are connected to a family or just would rather just want to do services in Spanish, you have that option. Also, Kyle is joining our practice as a coach. So if you want to see someone who's not me, who has hang time, then you can see Kyle.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just need an expert and someone who really knows their stuff, but you'll settle for someone who lays in the same bed with that person, I'm your guy. I'll be here for you.
We are so grateful for you guys. So grateful that you followed us in our journey. We're in season 5, guys. We've been at this for a minute. Bro. We are not new to this.
I think Obama was president the last time
where we started. No, quite literally. Obama was president.
Come back.
Come back.
Please.
God, okay. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode takeover with the Therapy for Christians podcast. We are so excited to share a little bit of our wisdom and insight with you guys, and we had so much fun making this episode. I want to invite you guys to be a part of something beautiful and powerful. I want to invite you to be a part of getting a message of healing, hope, and restoration out to the world through buying and sharing about my book. Could you imagine a world with 10,000 people healed, 10,000 people restored, 10,000 generations renewed? How amazing would that be? So join with me and join with God in this amazing goal to get this book out to as many people as possible so that healing can be their portion. Happy healing. Bye, guys.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024. Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.